Hello.
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 How you doing, Nick?
How are we?
Not bad.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. Are you angry?
I'm quite angry.
Yeah, I'm really angry. I sound really angry.
You sound like a jolly sort, not a really grumpy.
Oh no, I'm really angry. I'm really pissed off.
The head of steam is just boiling up. It's just boiling up.
It's
ready to blow over. Right. So, I guess we should have some intro chatter, I guess.
I was going to warn you that just one thing, I don't know. There's a problem with the Pulse Audio that hopefully they fixed, where it kind of goes out of sync. So just in case, like, anything happens, then let me know. And
to put Pulse Audio on the bottom of the rant list, because I have shit tons of problems with Pulse Audio. Anyway.
Okay.
Too many goes out of sync. You mean the lip sync could be wrong?
We'll give instructions to Britney Spears. She's doing, like, the video. So.
Okay.
So I guess we should say so this is Tech Grumps. It's a show where we all get on Skype and we rant about how shit all technology is, take no prisoners, full on ranting. And there are three of us, so I guess we should go around and introduce ourselves. I'm Tom. I'm a programmer, I guess, and I hate most things. Nick.
I'm Nick, and I'm a hacker, and I hate everything too. I've got reasons, though.
Yeah, we all do.
Ian.
Okay, I'm Ian, and I don't hate everything, but you know what? Apple and Microsoft and Google, sometimes they just annoy me a lot.
We should just note this is being recorded on a Macintosh, so...
What?
I guess we should start there. It is one of Apple's few remaining open platforms that you can install anything.
Apple are now an application company, and
a toy company. They make toys.
Yes, that's right. And the Macintosh will be in the bin.
So I guess we should talk about the iPhone. That's a fairly good thing to start ranting with, and then we can get more technical as we go along.
Where do I even start with the iPhone? I mean, people are like queuing up for this bloody thing, and you know what? I'm sorry, but HTC make the best phones. I don't care what anyone says; they just do, you know. And I just can't understand how people are like wetting themselves over this iPhone 4. Yeah, which got leaked to everybody, you know, a month before.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But, okay, what has this device really got that other devices haven't got? Yeah, every phone now has applications that you can download and you can use. Okay,
I'm pretty sure my Sony Ericsson has these J2ME things you can install.
Exactly. And I'm sure there's probably about 500,000... Java things that you can download, you know. Windows Mobile's had it for ages. What is the deal? You know, it's got a big screen, it's got a kind of bright screen, okay, and it's got this special OLED fucking, screen thing, but realistically, it's just a smartphone, you know, dressed up as a toy. You know, what is the problem? Why is everyone so amazed by this thing? I just don't understand it.
Well, they're amazed because it's what it has got that no other smartphone has got is a nice big Apple logo on it. People want Gucci blazers. I don't know, belts. I don't know, what do Gucci make? I don't know. They make something clothes wise, and they want funny hats that are trendy, and they want Apple phones. Have you noticed that Apple, like most brands, is going so much faster into the mainstream, and therefore being really square for some people. Everybody right now who is trendy that I know is all HTC Desire or whatever it is. I mean, personally, I've got a piece of Nokia crap because I don't do trends. But
I've got an iPod Touch, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I mean, polo neck.
Sorry? I haven't got a polo neck, no. I haven't got the Apple Tattoo either. Did you see the Onion story? The new Apple Friend Bar gives customers someone to talk to. It's like the Genius Bar.
I thought it was a documentary.
Yeah, it's like the Genius Bar, but you go in and you just talk about how cool your iPhone is, and they'll have somebody there to talk to you about it.
Oh my god, that's so Apple. I can imagine Steve Jobs like promoting that on stage, and all those developers going, "Wow, well done, Steve! Amazing! I never thought of that." You know.
In fact, one of the things that really, really annoys me about this whole thing, actually, is Stephen Fry. Once you get it in your hands, it's so marvelous. Fuck off, you great big fat twat.
Did you see the videos he did for the Free Software Foundation? He did the video for like 25 years of GNU, and he had a bloody MacBook Air sitting right next to him on set.
And then he has the balls.
Like, yeah, that's running stage. Debian or something. No, it's not.
Exactly. He had the balls to stand up and then say, "Oh, isn't the Mac wonderful?" And Tish, the people complaining about how closed it is. I have a serious point, actually. I spent some time. I got quite distressed earlier this year about the immense amount of steam there was about Apple, and I got quite worried that I really, really hated it and would just shout at people sort of almost in the street. And so I sat down and tried to work out what it is, what my problem is. And my problem is that I am a hacker and I think that everything is shit.
Yeah.
And Apple don't, of course, right? Apple have this thing about, oh, we release the product when it's perfect. Mm. And that's just bollocks. Everything is shit. You know, their batteries don't last a week. I want a device where the battery lasts a week. And if it doesn't, frankly, it's shit. Mm. I know that no device does that. I don't care. That's what I think.
Well, my problem is just there doesn't seem to be any alternative. Like, I've looked at Android, and it's okay, but all of the phones seem to be like, they all have some slight shortcoming, which doesn't make them perfect, so everyone just plops back to using the iPhone. So it's like, the Nexus 1 is okay, but it's like, it doesn't have the physical keyboard like the G1 does. And then you look at the G1, and it's like, well, this is cool, but it's really old, and it doesn't run the latest version of the software. And so, like, you can't get the permutation of exactly what you want from Android. And I think, well, if you're going to spend, like, you know, however much these devices are, you kind of want to get a really good one. But
you know what? You can buy a MakerBot for the same sort of money as you can spend on one of these things. And with a MakerBot and enough practice, you might actually be able to make your own mobile phone in a few years. And that's really what I would prefer to do. Because, as you say, the whole market... I had a play with a colleague's HTC Desire, and I ended up calling his dad about 8 times because I couldn't make it work. Now, I am a bit stupid and a bit old, so you know, that's fair enough. But the whole touchscreen thing. Oh, do I have to?
But surely this is the thing, right? This is. I mean, look at the strategy. Okay, Apple makes one device or like a couple of devices, that have the same operating system on now. They all work the same way. So if you want to go Apple, you have to use a touchscreen. Where HTC Go, or sorry, Android is completely open, and then you can apply it to as many devices as you like. Now, as a strategy, I know that a lot of the Apple guys are going, well, you know, what happens when you want to upgrade and stuff like that? But I'd much rather, if you want a physical keyboard, I'd much rather buy a phone that actually has that, opposed to having to beg and pray that Apple suddenly bring out a version that has a keyboard,
So, well, the strategy... you can use a Bluetooth keyboard with the latest iPhone and
oh, that's a good idea. So you can walk around with a Bluetooth keyboard, you know, the size of whatever, and your phone.
I saw a tweet from Aral, and he said that he is now walking around Brighton with a MacBook Pro, an iPad, an iPhone, and a Bluetooth keyboard for the iPhone and iPad. And I was like, you're seriously going to get mugged one of these days, eh?
He's also walking around with another phone in his pocket because the iPhone's such a crap phone. I mean, it is ludicrous, but I mean, it's frustrating because I don't believe that you could fit what I want into a device that size. Because actually, what I want is a keyboard about the same size as my laptop. But I still think that it's all the other things. So, you know, the battery, even if it lasts a whole day, that's still crap. Just rubbish.
The thing I found very annoying about the whole like rhetoric around the iPhone and the iPad, especially the iPad, is like this idea that like it's for my mum, not for me. That whole like thing which is going on, and like you know, I've spoken to numerous people and they said, "Oh, it's a wonderful machine for my mum, but not for me." You know, I want to have a laptop, whatever. And it's like, well, actually, I could have this thing and I could like SSH into my Linux box at home using it and use Vim and Git and whatever else. And that's about all I really need to actually get the basic day-to-day things I do all day done. And then it's like, but my mum's like doing graphic design and art and like taking pictures and video and all this stuff. And you can't do that on an iPad. So it's a complete, like, they've got it all the way around.
Don't even get me started on the my mum thing. That it is utterly patronising bullshit, as if to suggest that everybody's mother is somehow just this sort of tweedy knitting brainless mush. Women, know your limits. It's just crap, and it is spouted by every half-witted moron from here to Brighton, probably. And I'm so sick of hearing that as an excuse in every argument I have with people about usability or functionality, that I may start carrying around a knitting needle so I can stab them in the hand when they say it.
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, the fact that it's, oh, well, my mum could use it, it's just bollocks. I'm sorry, it is bollocks. I've seen a dog on YouTube using the iPad, you know, or a cat using the iPad. That doesn't make it good, you know. I'm sorry, but
there could be a market there, though, couldn't there? Because Steve could stand up in front of a whole bunch of cats and they could go mew, 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 mew. And maybe the next day you could do dog, because you obviously wouldn't want to mix the two up. It'd be hilarious, though, if they mistakenly sent the invites to a mixture of dogs and cats.
The App Store Cat Edition. It's like 99 sets and cents, and it will, you know, it'll make noises just to confuse your pets, you know. Just put this like £500 device down just to, you know, make your pets go crazy.
It is shiny. Cats would like it. It is really shiny. Cats love shiny.
That's true. I mean, the other thing that bugs me about the iPhone, sorry, the iPad, is, you know, there's a real, I mean, like I was playing with one and, yeah, there was no Wi-Fi in the room. And so it became like this kind of like white horse, you know, you kind of, well, whatever you call it, you know, it just became like useless, you know. It kind of really needs Wi-Fi or some connectivity to really be used, you know. And that bugs me. That really bugs me that you have to have some kind of connectivity.
Ian, you're talking nonsense. All these problems are solved by HTML5.
Don't start on that.
The idea that HTML5 is going to be some sort of, you know, way of solving all of the closeness problems of the iPhone is just so hilarious. Like, yeah, people are going to be building, like, you think, what about like OpenGL? How are you going to build like a 3D game and have it running on the iPad in HTML5? Or, you know, you need low-level platform access for a lot of applications. It's just completely bonkers that people.
I'm sure Google would say that. Just looking at some of their announcements that they did at Google I/O, they're saying, well, you know, you can do a lot of this stuff with the applications, and now you'll have, I think in the latest version of Chrome and IE9, you'll have access to some of the that kind of underlying hardware, you know, and APIs. But I'm sorry, but a web application is a web application, and a desktop application is a desktop application. And yes, you could like work really hard to make a web application at like a web like a platform application, but it's just so much easier just to write a platform application.
There are some cool stuff I've seen. Like somebody's made this really nice drawing app, you know, in with Canvas, and you know you can like do it offline, and it turns into a little icon on the iPad, iPhone, that platform. Like, but it's all open. It's all written in JavaScript and whatever, and you can run it on any platform you like, which is really cool. And it's like is touch sensitive and whatever. But it's like there's 100,000 apps in the App Store. That's kind of what you're competing with.
Yeah, I mean, I did see, I mean, don't get me wrong, I saw something pretty cool the other day where Google are releasing some kind of plugin where, I'm not sure it's a plugin actually, I think it's like some kind of JavaScript library which actually emulates SVG, so you can actually, you know, like show SVG to IE8 and it will actually render it as an SVG, you know, but using Flash or something. So there are opportunities like that, but I just don't think that we're quite there where...
But the thing which is so absurd about this is, like, people saying, oh, well, HTML5, it's the new app platform, like, it's the open app platform. Sorry, but when you see people stop building, you know, on open platforms, like, well, relatively open platforms like Windows, Mac, Linux, you know, on the desktop... When people suddenly say, well, actually, I'm not going to build my app in C++ or Java or whatever. I'm going to build it in HTML5 and distribute it with this JavaScript runtime. And no, they're not doing it on the desktop. So why is it that they're suddenly going to do it on mobile? It's bullshit. Like, nobody's going to say, well, I'm making a Mac application, but I'm not going to write it in Objective-C and distribute it as a Mac app. I'm going to distribute it as a web app. And that's going to be a much, much better experience.
I think, that's absolutely right, but like the most of the rest of the things that go on in the tech industry, there is something good here, HTML5, and a bunch of companies co-opt it in order to bash something else that they don't like or to, you know, exploit some sort of commercial advantage.
You don't mean Apple, do you?
I do, yeah. I mean, obviously, I mean Apple and Flash. because Steve wants to build devices that have got long battery life, and Flash, we all know, is really, really bad. I mean, Adobe programmers must have an IQ of less than 30 because it's such appalling bullshit. I actually, probably not allowed to say this, but I've had sort of dealings with Adobe, and they don't really even understand what virtualization is. Clearly, their talent pool is very restricted. I suspect that it's nepotism or something, that somebody's employing their cousins.
Have you ever tried to install Adobe stuff on a Mac? Like, installing stuff on the Mac is like the simplest process. You drag stuff from the disk image into the applications folder. You actually try and install Adobe Creative Suite on Mac, and it takes like 3 freaking hours to install, and it's got this custom installer, and it shuts down on your browser, so you're not even able to just, you know, go on Facebook and, you know, rant about how crap Adobe is, because it makes sure all your browsers are closed while installing. It's the most
I've only one thing to say to that, though. It serves you right.
in so many ways.
But So coming back to this, I mean, HTML5, I think, has got lots of good things about it, and it's standards-based, and it is absolutely amazing that Ian managed, obviously not our Ian, managed to do that. What's his name? Ian
Hickson.
He managed to do that because he basically just sat down and said, right, I'm doing it because nobody else is going to. And that's pretty awesome, I think. But it's also... I've been looking at it for years and years and years and thinking, Jesus, this is the most this is fatter than your mother. This spec is so insane.
It's like 900 pages long or something. It's crazy.
It's absolutely absurd. But you know, I also kind of think, well, okay, that's the world we're in. You know, we want our browsers to do this stuff. What really upsets me is that we still have a monolithic, completely monolithic browser that's delivering it all. But, you know, that's down to the fantastic programmers at all these different places and how bad they are. But,
well, I don't know. WebKit's not bad, I have to say. I've been using WebKit standalone recently. I wanted to render up some PDFs on the server, on the server side, to deliver in a Rails app. And I figure, well, I could do all this with like LaTeX or some like crappy module that produces PDFs. Or
sorry, did you just say LaTeX?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
Or I know LaTeX, so that's okay. But you know, some other crazy thing like there's a whole bunch, something like iText in Java or some like library to produce PDFs. And I think, well, I know HTML, I know CSS, why don't you use those? And actually, it's pretty nice. You can now get like a standalone thing, just like 8 meg binary, which can just, you know, it has a complete WebKit rendering engine, including JavaScript, everything. And you can fire off HTML to it and it churns out PDFs. And that seems kind of nice and it's pretty quick. I mean, as quick as, you know, loading a full browser is. I mean, compared to some of the other ways people are doing stuff like that, you know, where they're like having a Windows machine that's sitting there and then they're firing off events to it and then getting it to render the page and print it. And yeah, it's a good, you know, WebKit is not a bad bit of technology. It's
bollocks.
Given those constraints.
I was trying to use the Python. I'm gonna find some way of ranting about this. I was trying to use the Python WebKit library a little while ago, and this is unfortunate because I can't actually remember what it did that didn't please me. But there was still so much left out, and I just don't understand. It's being commercially supported by Apple, but clearly they. You know, what have they got? One bloke on it a week?
They have a few people, and they have people from Google.
So. Don't get me wrong. I think generally, you know, okay, I like the idea, from my point of view, being a designer, I like the idea that, you know, that you can use this stuff and you can actually, yeah, like you said, you can build this stuff in the web and actually, you know, now you can kind of deploy this to the desktop, but frankly, if you're a programmer and you're worth any salt, then geez, just use a good programming language that could do this stuff much quicker, much more efficiently, you know, without the kind of overhead of having to run WebKit and stuff like that, you know, and just be happy, you know. Let us kind of people, you know, who are not that familiar with this stuff kind of enter the market and improve our stuff, you know, but don't start getting down to our level, because it's ridiculous. Why would you build all this stuff in like using WebKit and whatever else when you can just do it using Python or Java, you know?
Yeah, I mean, seems a reasonable point.
Reasonable is not what we're about. I wanted to just flip back to the iPad, because we kind of that was my fault that we got onto that digression about HTML5, which I think was all reasonably angry and correct. But the one thing that I really wanted to pull out about the iPad was the whole thing about freedom and the fact that it is big content ramming itself down our throat, probably for the last time. I mean, it's really interesting, isn't it, that within five years, we are going to be able to make our own movies. Technology will be that advanced. You'll be able to create a character fairly easily without having to be an artist or a musician or any of those things. Computers are about to make that kind of stuff possible. So at that point, big content is completely screwed. So they're having a last gasp of really ramming it down people's throats through closed content subscription models with tools like the iPad. And what really bothers me is that I can't see many people giving a shit. I you know, lots and lots of people are like, oh yeah, that's so terrible. Anyway, I've ordered mine, and you just think, well, for fuck's sake. There goes freedom.
I'm trying very, very hard to resist the inner lizard that's telling me to go and buy shiny things. I've so far held out. It's a daily struggle. I'm beginning to feel a little bit like the medieval monks, sort of mustn't masturbate by iPad by.
I know what you're saying.
Is that what it feels like? It feels like a sort of no. I must hold back.
The higher bit of my brain is like, no, don't go and buy expensive shiny thing. It's unfree. It's like the Richard Stallman bit of my. So there's like morality plays where you've got Richard Stallman on one side, who's like the angel standing on one shoulder, and then you've got Steve Jobs on the other, who's like, no, come and buy shiny thing. Come and buy shiny thing. And
I mean, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying about the kind of Richard Stallman and Jobs, but I don't think it's that simple. I think there's definitely, all these players like, okay, yes, yeah, so you can go completely free and open, and a lot of the kind of like the Linux crew will contest that, but I think that there's a level slightly in between, and I kind of say that maybe the kind of open source world where you don't have to be. I mean, you just need to be open enough. Like the fact that I think the closest company I can think of that are doing this right now tend to be, and I'm not giving them a kind of big up, but Google, and they seem to make this stuff, and they seem to be kind of like, oh, as long as it kind of supports the open web, then that's good, and and that seems to be enough. And I think the kind of the free software world have maybe gone a bit too far in some quarters, but then on the other side, I mean, the fact I bought an iPod Touch just because everyone kept on saying, oh, buy one, it'd be really cool. I bought one, I plugged it into my machine, didn't matter what the machine was, and it asked me to play a little bit of iTunes. It was unusable. That's ridiculous. That's not a good experience.
There is a reason for that, which is that it's for the whole synchronization thing, which is actually good.
No,
like, I
no,
buy into
not,
that. I think it's actually a good idea.
No, it's not. It's not a good idea.
The first thing I did with my ebook reader was write a bloody rake script to synchronize it properly. Because otherwise, if you're doing all this, like, dragging stuff on and off it, then it, like, it's going to get filled up with shit. It's either going to get unorganized, or it's going to get filled up with, like, dot files from all the 17 different operating systems you plug it into. Synchronization is a good idea.
I understand that, but okay, but hold on a minute. Wait a minute. When has it been that synchronization, you cannot use this device unless you synchronize it? When has there been a TV or a radio or anything like that where it's unusable?
I hate to flatly contradict my previous statement, but it's so my parents can understand.
No. Tell him.
That's just flat out utter wrong, isn't it? And you know it. I think that the concept of that device and tying it into iTunes, it's not the shiny thing that bothers me, because I like shiny things. I think cats like them more than I do, which is maybe an advantage for me. But what bothers me is the content model that you can turn around and say, oh no, iTunes, that is a good thing. It bothers me. That's psychotic, because it clearly, that's like cutting your arm, because it's not good for you having this great big company control all that media.
That's just utter
stupidity that we've, people make jokes about Terminator and Skynet. This is much more scary that all your culture should come through Steve's black Polonek, and he decides what is filth, and he even decides what is politically correct.
That kills me. I don't understand this whole notion of, well, Steve says it's okay, so it must be okay. what if Steve doesn't like the same music as you? Well, obviously that can't be on the iTunes music store because Steve doesn't say it's okay, you know? I'm sorry.
It'll be fine. Listen, we can all listen to the Eagles. It'll be fine. They're good enough for everybody.
So about the content thing, did you see the Wired iPad app? It's quite hilarious. This is supposed to be the future of publishing, right? They've brought up this app, and each issue is 500 megs to download.
500 megs?
500 megs. Because done is they've basically taken the magazine and turned it into some quite large graphics files, and they distribute what is basically a folder full of images for each page. It's not done with markup or anything. You just get this massive chunk of image, which gets downloaded to your iPad, 500 megs an issue.
Oh, God.
And so what's so crazy about this is the fact that... I'm just looking at this. The 3G plans they sell with the iPad, what is it, like 10 quid a month for Vodafone? You know, 1 gig or whatever it is, and all the others are similar, like 750 for Orange. Well, like, your 1 gig a month or whatever it is, that's going to be eaten. Half of that is going to be eaten with one issue of Wired's iPad magazine. And you're there.
Well, not only that, but you don't get a free black polo neck with it either, like you do with a print version. This was down to Adobe again, though, wasn't it? The reason for that was that they've got one of these Adobe publishing systems for controlling the print and the online. But obviously, Steve said no to anything to do with Adobe on the iPad, and therefore they had to just render it or completely throw away the technology. What really bothers me about this is that they got into that situation. I wouldn't go near Wired with somebody else's barge pole now, because a magazine about technology that is published on Adobe stuff, I mean, you know, if that was Condé Nast or something, I'd say fair enough. You know, you're idiots. You don't know what you're talking about. But Pet Monthly is very nice for people who like fluffy rabbits. But if you're Wired and you're supposed to be producing a journal not just for people in Polonex but also for people who know what they're talking about, then why are you using a piece of proprietary crap like that? I'd expect you to have put it together yourselves much more, which brings us to another annoyance about this whole, you know, oh hey, get it off the shelf, which I think is also bullshit. These days you should be making stuff. That's what the internet is all about. So that's what really irks me about that. I think it is it's laughable that they should produce such a piece of crap, and I can see how they got there. And if they did it because they're in a hurry, fair enough. But what really bothers me is that somebody made that decision in the past, and nobody's questioned it since. And that, you know, they're still using this ridiculous.
No, they're still using it, are they?
I haven't followed up, but it is crazy. And you think none of the things which they're doing, you can't, you know, it's like you're rendering text and images and you're putting them on a page. Haven't we already got some kind of, I don't know, markup language that's quite good at displaying things like this on digital screens?
I've not heard of one. Is there one?
I'm not sure. I mean, I hear you can add these sort of style sheets which cascade down the page, and you can add these kind of behaviours. I'm not sure. There's some programming language which everyone uses.
This sounds like radical nonsense. The sort of stuff pushed by lefty types like Stallman. We don't want any of that. We want to buy a nice off-the-shelf publishing solution from somebody like Adobe. They know what they're talking about. They'll see us right.
To be fair to Adobe, I was surprised at them working with Google. I wasn't that surprised because, Apple would be very public about Adobe being very lazy, but to actually get, Flash onto Android devices kind of surprised me. I was, to be fair, I was, like, quite surprised. And I think actually, I'm not singing the praises of Google again, but they've done a good job, because they said, as they said, you know, to be open, you need to be non-exclusive. You need to just, you need to let things go, and that's a much better strategy than Steve says no, you know, and no, it's not allowed on the iTunes Music Store, on the iTunes App Store, whatever.
But to be clear, Ian, he can't, can he? He can't do that. I mean, let's be honest, he's not doing it for any sensible reason, and Google probably aren't doing it for any sensible reason either. They're just doing it in opposition to Steve. Steve is really defining this ground. For all we can say about the desire and all of those, the Android movement right now being more open and cool, right now Steve is still setting the tone, and Steve is only saying that in order to reduce the power consumption on these devices, so that they can come in with a, you know, fairly reasonable amount of battery life that doesn't make people just go, this is a joke.
Yeah. But because the battery is still replaceable. You know, if they just allow people to replace the battery, for goodness sake, then maybe, you know, they wouldn't have this problem.
Oh, you could. They'd also cut their profit margin.
Oh, you can replace the battery. You just have to take it back to the Apple Store. Oh, wait.
Oh, well, that's a good idea, isn't it?
My Mac, actually, I was on train on the train the other day, going up to London, and I got to the end of the train line, put my Mac back in my bag, and you know, got on a bus where everyone got my Mac out, where, you know, and it said, on the battery meter, it said, you know, whatever percentage, replace battery. And then I could click that, and it would take me to the Apple Store, like, webpage, to buy the right type of battery. And it wasn't actually that the battery had become knackered. It's that the battery, because I hadn't put it to sleep properly, like, you know, it hadn't gone to sleep properly, whatever, there was some overrunning application, it had thought that the battery was going crazy. And then I got home, recalibrated the battery, and it's absolutely fine. So there's some sucker who's probably out there who's gone and bought a MacBook battery because their laptop's told them, oh, you need to replace the battery now, even though it's got like 80% health. And,
if it happens twice, you probably take it into the store and they go, oh, yeah, logic board.
Yeah, 800 quid.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, like, I had this problem a little while ago where, you know, I just switched from like Windows Mobile to Android, and I noticed that these adverts were coming up on the apps, and, you know, I don't know how I felt about like having this advertising directly on the phone, but like if suddenly, you know, I started using my laptop and suddenly this stuff starts popping up and saying, well, you need to take it back to the Apple Store to be replaced or whatever. I just feel like it's just an invasion of my own private space. You know, and that just seems like a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, there is some good integration, like the fact that you can actually find out things like the serial number and whatever from the operating system rather than having to, like, remove the battery and get a spyglass. And, like, there is some upsides to the integration, but that was a little bit too far for me. Well, it wasn't too far for me. It was the potential that somebody who wasn't technically knowledgeable could have clicked that and gone and spent a load of money, even though they needn't have bothered.
That worries me because, I mean, when you've got that kind of integration, you know, or those kind of APIs, there is a notion that, who knows, you know, maybe the Apple Store is like just, you know, they're sending a ping to the Apple Store saying, look, this person's opened a laptop, this person's closed a laptop. And I just worry about that kind of stuff a bit. I know that Google isn't much better for this stuff, but, you know, when you have that kind of integration, it does worry me.
I think that it's, I mean, it's just gobsmacking what people don't seem to be bothered about, to me. I work with a whole bunch of people in social networking, and what they're prepared to divulge about themselves beggars belief, frankly. You know, kids today, and I mean 18 to 24 year olds, seem to have no conception of privacy at all. And I know some people have sort of politicized that into, I'm prepared to tell anybody absolutely anything. Maybe it's just because they're young and they haven't got really, really dark secrets to hide. And nobody's ashamed of things like pornography or, divorce or illegitimacy or any of those. I mean, none of those are taboos.
I did put my divorce up online. Me and my wife did decide we're quite public figures. We're going to announce. We talked to the family first, but then we did announce our divorce. Yeah, what was happening? Our divorce would be online, and also like lately, just recently, when I was in hospital, my brush with death. My mum did put it up online. After much talk with like my ex-wife and a few other people, but because it was easier to do that than to have all these kind of like rumours floating around.
Now, that's totally different. You're a public figure. I think what was interesting about that was that your relatives didn't know that you were a public figure, and you might not recognise that statement, but you are. But, tens of thousands of people all over the world know who you are. That certainly isn't true. It might be true of Tom, but it certainly isn't true of me. You know, I'm a 40-year-old white male who's been in the technology industry for a long time, and I know a lot of people, but I'm nowhere near. No, I mean, just we are not in the same league in terms of famousness. You are a public figure, so saying those things online is, those two things have to go together. But if I was ill, I wouldn't expect my wife to put up a website, detailing anything about that. not that I would object necessarily, and there might be the odd Facebook message, but I think, it's a question of social network, that people are prepared to publish things to their social network, that's fine, but then they're also prepared for anybody else outside their social network to see them. And some of the fuss we've seen about Facebook doesn't seem to me to be affecting that particular generation. I mean, I work with a bunch of them, they don't seem to care.
Well, I think the thing for me is that everyone has to draw their own line on these things. This is getting very ungrumpy. It's kind of becoming a bit preachy, but so like my personal line is I don't talk about anything regards romance, sex, anything involving personal life in that sense, and I don't talk about my home life in terms of like where I live. That's the thing which pisses me off about like location based, like all these things like Foursquare, like I'm really don't want, the Foursquare Brigade to turn up at my house.
I've decided that I might make it my mission actually to get you to admit when you have knobbed something. That's not grumpy either. That's just filthy. We should just cut that out. Edit the audio there. Beep. There you go. Cut off point.
I don't think you've been to any of the bar camp sex sessions.
No, I haven't. Well, bar camp? Don't get me started on bar camp.
What's with bar camp? Come on, what's with bar camp?
It's at the weekend.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying.
Anyway, none of that's grumpy either. Do I finish ranting about people who buy iPads and how stupid they are?
Should we go into something a bit more geeky?
Go for it.
I don't know. Let's see, what do we have on the list?
Let's do the cloud thing. Come on, I'd love to see you bounce about clouds.
Go for it.
So, cloud computing is bullshit, right? We all know this.
No, hold on, wait. Clarify that. What do you mean it's bullshit? You can't say cloud computer is bullshit and get away with it. You need to qualify that with a bit of a... Go on, explain to me why it's bullshit.
That's the very reason, because nobody knows what the fuck it is. No, seriously, I just don't understand it. You take a bunch of computers and you hook them up to the internet and you have a cloud. What the fuck is that all about? Like, I just don't understand it. Like, you've got all these people who are putting their files up on bloody Dropbox, and then that's the cloud. And then, like, I've seen people who are saying that Hotmail is a cloud now. It's like, what the fuck is that? Like, and then...
Oh, come on. That's just your standard. It's like what we were talking about before about HTML5. I mean, that's just standard bullshit tech company crap. But cloud does mean something, surely. It is the abstraction of the service from the host. Before, we've always had to be tied to machines, but now there isn't, you know, okay, yes, when you make a web request, you're clearly tied to a machine, but the infrastructure behind that is so complicated that you could be talking to 50 different machines. Each one of your files on Dropbox could actually be stored in one small byte, 4-byte bucket or something on 10,000 machines.
Yeah,
you don't know, and it doesn't matter.
That's fine. My problem is just that, you know, we've got about 17 different things. You know, that's fine. I use Amazon Web Services. I use, like, EC2 and all those things. And that's all fine. But the problem I just have is the fact that we have taken this cluster of everything from, like, Gmail to, you know, like, VMware-style virtualization to, I don't know, like, we've just taken absolutely every single technology you can think of that involves computers that are connected to a network somehow, and this has now become cloud. Like, Ajax is in the cloud. It's like, no, this is a JavaScript. Like, I linked to in the you know, pre-show notes.
Show notes?
Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of. Pre-show notes. The show notes just for us, not for the for the listeners.
we should publish those. Publish them, damn.
Yeah.
There's some real nasty stuff. Awesome. But there's a link to a TechCrunch article by Mark Benioff from Salesforce, titled "Hello iPad, Hello Cloud 2."
What? Cloud 2? What the fuck is he on about? What? Explain to me what Cloud 2 is.
Well,
he can't, because it's bollocks.
He's talking about, basically, you've got all the people who are using Lotus Notes. They're not even in the cloud, right? Then you've got, like, the people who are using Windows. They're in the cloud 1, apparently. And then the people who are using iPads are in the cloud 2.
What the fuck?
If you're using Facebook on an iPad, you're in cloud 2. If you're using, I don't know, Yahoo Mail on a Windows machine, you're in cloud 1.
Are they compatible? Are the links between the clouds? Can you plug one cloud into the other? Those are the things I need. Do you need a special cable? Can I go and buy one? Perhaps from the Apple store. I'm going to go in tomorrow, actually, and say, I would like a Cloud 1 to Cloud 2 cable, please. I bet they sell me one.
No, I think it would be like a special converter box that's powered by a mixture of Amazon Web Services, Gmail, Magic Dust, and Facebook status updates.
And the Django Pony.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's...
Oh, my God.
Just...
I can't get that upset about cloud, because I think it's just marketing rat mess. And, you know, marketing people, they just believe that everybody is there to be lied to, that people want to be lied to, that people respond to being lied to. They're so far away from what I experience humanity as that, you know, they're just aliens to me. I don't understand them. They don't speak any of the same language that I do. They don't share the same, you know, they're not even on my ship.
The problem with all this is that everything needs to be somewhat spun when it comes to, like, the tech industry. And, you know, in the past, it was like, okay, we'll bring out a new language, that's it. But now, when a new language has come out or something like that, it suddenly has to be marketed a certain way, or it's got to, you know, hit a certain audience or a certain target or a certain demographic. And so, yeah, maybe the marketing people are taken over and I've just gone into overdrive, you know, and we need to, like, fight back against that and say, actually, yes, this is very cool, but all it is this. It's nothing more, you know?
I think that that's, it's just always been there. If you remember the sort of days of the early 1980s of microcomputers coming along, and BBC Micros and Spectrums and all of that sort of stuff. And there's the excellent documentary on the BBC recently about the early days of all of that. But there was a lot of marketing bullshit then, even then, in the infancy of our industry. And, it, you know, taking it back to the 1950s, there was a lot of bullshit between, you know, big IBM and ICL and all those people. And it's just, as it becomes more pervasive, there has to be more marketing bullshit. I don't know why that is, but, you know, the two do seem to go hand in hand. And cloud is just one of those things. We have an issue in tech that things are difficult to explain to people who are lay people. It's so easy to be a lay person in tech because there is so much of it that... So you start to come up with stories that explain things and analogies that explain things, and people leap onto those. Like, cloud is just an analogy, isn't it? I mean, it's meant to imply this sort of amorphous, blobby, stretchy type thing. I think putty would be better. I might start a campaign for people to start offering putty services.
A vapor is my preferred word.
Yeah, well, that's just because you're grumpy about it. But I think that, I mean, I think the word cloud is just a bit stupid, but it does vaguely mean something. And I have to say, I can't get that grumpy about it. And I'm doubting your invective here, Tom. Oh, we should turn this into a competition.
Doesn't it sound like, you know, that old quote, like, I'm going to use regular expressions for this problem. Okay, now you've got two problems. They've substituted XML recently. Yeah. It sounds like, you know, well, I can't quite explain this to somebody, so I'll substitute a buzzword. Well, now you've got two things to explain.
You haven't, because you just say that, and the other person, because they're afraid of being stupid, they just nod. That's most people's reaction, right? I mean, the unusual thing about really technical people is they go, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean. They're not afraid of looking like an idiot because they know they're not most of the time.
We can import the Socrates header file at this point.
Yeah. Oh yeah, what's that then?
The bit where it says, you know, ignorance is the, you know, the yeah, well, yeah. I can't quote Socrates, it's too late and I've been faffing under windows all day, so fuck that.
Yeah, you weren't really listening, were you, when they did that? You copied somebody else's notes.
Sorry? No, I was listening, but I've just, it's too late, and as I said, I've been faffing around with Windows all day, and my brain is shot to bits. So.
Yeah. Philosopher gives excuses.
Shall we slowly end this? Because I know that the IT crowd's coming on TV soon.
I might have to watch that. There's another way of doing that, isn't there? I forget what it is. Something like bits aren't, or I forget what it.
No, surely not. Surely you wouldn't do something illegal.
Oh no. 4OD. That's what it is. 4OD. Not BitTorrent. Not BitTorrent. Not Rapid Share. 4 on demand, 4OD.
It really is an excellent service, folks.
Oh, dear.
I could have a rant about the IT crowd, actually, because I don't think it's funny. But
really?
Yeah, no, it's not funny. It's just the whole IT bit is just a sop, isn't it? It's just a standard sitcom with. Oh, and they put a computer magazine, and oh look, and there's a copy of Windows. So it's just set dressing, the tech bit. The rest of it is just a stupid sitcom. It might as well be Eric Sykes in that sitcom.
No. I mean, there's genuine bits of humour that are specific to the tech industry, you know, in the IT crowd. Now, I would say that something like the Big Bang Theory is more like a sock, you know, for that kind of stuff. And actually, somewhat isn't as funny as the IT crowd because it does feel like that, you know, these characters are just being used or like thrown into like these situations. But IT crowd's actually genuinely funny.
Yeah, it was the as funny bit that got me in that sentence. I don't think that the IT crowd is funny. It has made me titter once or twice, but yeah, I think you were talking about Big Bang Theory, and the idea of that being funny is laughable because it so isn't. I love the way that they, like Jerry Seinfeld, they cue up every gag with a kind of bit of music and an obvious pause. It's like, that's comic timing? No, that's just crap acting.
It's okay. It's like, it's not that funny, but I'm still going to keep on watching it for the same reason I still buy Apple products.
Oh,
exactly, you see. Exactly.
Shiny.
Yeah, bloody, what has happened to the revolution, man?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Don't worry, I'm not opposed to slavery or anything, but yeah, as long as I get fed, it doesn't matter, you know.
No, it is fun spotting all the nerd references in the background, which they change every week. Like, I don't know, C Sharp in a Nutshell was in the background last week, I think I spotted, and a few other.
Look, could I just make you a picture? I mean, if you just want to play Spot the Difference, I can send you a picture, or maybe post one on a website, and you can go and look at it for half an hour if you like.
Sure, well, you'd write a application and get him to download it from the iTunes Music Store, if Apple will let you actually submit it.
Yeah, this has turned into sort of the Bash Tom hours. Tom and his shiny toys.
I'm going to have to go on Twitter for the next week and dig up dirt on you guys.
There's plenty of it, don't worry. So I mean, I'm good to end there if you need to go off and watch your sick.
Well, yeah, that seems like a perfectly good point to end. So I guess we should wrap up. This was Tech Grumps, episode, I don't know, 0.01 beta, I guess.
Always start from zero, yes.
Yeah, a release candidate, I don't know, maybe.
Beta.
I think it might just be a whole load of shit that somebody's, you know, crapped into a Subversion repository and hoped that nobody would ever find. But we might put it out sometime when I can be bothered to set up a blog. And
I'm thinking of this like the Derek and Clive of IT.
Oh my god!
I'm working my way up to saying cunt. Oh,
we've actually not sworn too much.
I swore quite a bit, I've got to say.
Perhaps it just all washes over me because I'm so used to it. But you know, we haven't actually. I need to sit down and actually have a little recording device, and whenever I say fuck, like work out what I was saying fuck about, so we could bring it up on the podcast. Because it's like everyone says fuck about iPods and stuff, but there's surely some deeper tech stuff which I could find, which I'm quite likely to say fuck about. I've said it about 50 times today, but that was because I was using Windows. So,
why do you do it to yourself?
I should explain. My parents' laptop Windows has just completely broken down in agony. So we're going through some crazy thing. We're installing Ubuntu on it, and then we're moving the Windows apps over and virtualizing them, and the whole thing is just bullshit, and it takes
ages. To be fair, I will give Microsoft some credit where credit is due in the next episode.
What, Windows Mobile? Windows 7?
Windows Phone 7.
Right, well, yeah, and to give them credit, in this episode, Windows 7 doesn't actually suck. Unfortunately, I have to deal with Windows XP, so that's not much help. So,
it sounded to me like you were building them a personal cloud.
With that, we'll have to leave that this week. That's a gem. Anyway, so I think we have to say over and out. So, adio, folks.
Bye-bye.
Nick?
Oh, am I supposed to say goodbye?
Yeah.
Bye.
You said grumpy, you can't even say goodbye.
Fuck you, get out of my house.
Get out. I'm ending this now.
Right, I think that's it. That's end the recording.
Okay.